VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we want to thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network as we talk about a number of issues, certainly of concern to our listeners, and certainly as we take a look at the morality or immorality taking place here across the nation, and certainly taking a biblical perspective on these matters. It came over the weekend here from Human Rights Campaign. U.S. Ambassador Mary's partner, Daniel Baer, the openly gay U.S. ambassador to the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, married his partner, Brian Walsh, this past weekend. I quote, Baer sent a tweet with a special thank you to the president and the former and current secretaries of state for helping to make his marriage a reality. Quote, so I got married this morning. Thank you at Barack Obama, at Hillary Clinton, and at John Kerry for your commitment to equality. Well, folks, we're going to be talking about a number of issues here today, as it's our privilege to have back with us Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. Peter, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tim, and thanks for the opportunity.
Well, for years, Peter, it's been promoted 1 in 10, 10% of the population, homosexual. Stunningly, back just a few years ago, 2011, there was a Gallup poll that was released in which Americans thought that 25% of the population was homosexual. Some even put that number closer to 30%. Yet the U.S. government has recently released a survey on nationally representative data on sexual orientation. Peter, tell us about it. What did it find?
Well, Jim, this is amazing, and actually this confirms the lower numbers that we've seen in more realistic studies over the years. But what it found was that 1.6 of the adult population surveyed, and these were very intense surveys, often one-on-one interviews, were gay or lesbian, and then 0.7 bisexual. So even if you factor in the bisexuals, we're talking about 2%, 2.3% of the population LGBT. And we have to remember that for decades, homosexual activists, relying on sort of a misreading of the Alfred Kinsey data, the corrupt sexologist Alfred Kinsey, were telling us that 10% of society was gay, and that was drummed into people's heads. Now it turns out it's 1.6% homosexual.
Now, Peter, this is not just some off-the-wall poll. I mean, we're talking the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Yes, we're talking about the main survey agency. This is an ongoing survey that goes on, continually, and it's very in-depth, and, they've got this lower number. Now, Jim, the 10% number has actually been, we've known it's been fallacious for a long time,
mm-hmm.
but you see media stories, and I'm looking at my website at AmericansForTruth.com, Kevin Jennings, a homosexual activist, wrote a book called One Teacher in Ten. Homosexual activists have been stoking the 10% myth. And then if you factor in all the pro-gay propaganda in the culture and in Hollywood, this incessant pro-homosexual sort of zeitgeist that we're in, like you said, Gallup found that in 2011, the median American, the average American, actually believed that 25% of society was quote-unquote gay. And so, what we're seeing is that the propaganda works, but the reality is 1.6% gay and lesbian, 0.7 bisexual.
So a total combined of 2.3%.
Yeah.
And Peter, yet we are seeing the White House just, I mean, they're operating as if one-third of Americans have adopted this lifestyle. But I'm told that homosexual advocacy groups, they're rather outraged by this government report.
Well, they're saying the usual stuff. They always say, well, people are scared to, a lot of people won't admit that they're homosexual. But Jim, I find those arguments less and less compelling. In a culture in which homosexuality is celebrated by Hollywood, the media, schools, on college campuses, it becomes more and more difficult to say, oh, everybody's too scared to say that they're homosexual. So I think that argument is wanting. And besides, there have been other studies which confirm this low number, 1 to 3%, not even 5%. Now, it may be 5% more for voters, because I believe that homosexual Americans vote at a higher rate than the rest of the country. But the actual numbers, I think it's safe to say now, 2% LGBT use that number, and that's a far. It's a big difference saying 1 in 10 compared to 1 in 50.
Yeah, absolutely. 1.6%, and again, a 0.7% bisexual. Peter, though, you know, despite this extremely low number, the 10% myth has not slowed down the Obama administration. Matter of fact, just a couple weeks ago, again, here we have the president signing another executive order. Tell us about it.
Well, the executive order applies to federal contractors, that is, businesses who do business with the government over a certain size. Cannot, quote-unquote, discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. And, Jim, I think this last point is one that people haven't even factored in yet. Gender identity is the term for transgenders. This means the perceived gender that you are. Let's say a man who believes he really is should be a woman. His gender identity is woman. So now you're talking about businesses not even being able to factor that in. And this is a huge order, which I believe I read in some on a gay website. They believe this will affect 28 million Americans. So a huge number of businesses will anybody who does business with the federal government will be affected by this. And this is more big gay government, Jim, in which you know, we used to hear don't impose your morality on us, but the left through edicts like this. They're imposing their immorality on everybody.
Yeah.
They're forcing businesses to be pro-homosexual.
Well, and another outrage of this executive order, not only, again, is the president overstretching executive authority, which we have seen him do time and time again, but another outrage of this is that there is no religious exemption carve-out. I mean, CitizenLink was reporting that this is going to even force Christian universities, Christian colleges, Christian organizations to hire people who disagree with them on this marriage issue, those who make contract with the government. And I don't know if this includes colleges that have students with, you know, student loans or grants, you know, that are issued by the government. I'm not sure if it goes there, but it does outline a number of Christian universities and colleges, including one Christian college president who was really had the pressure put on him for writing a piece against it.
Yeah, Jim, the Obama administration specifically rejected a strong and solid religious exemption. There was a letter that went out. Many Christian leaders from across the country urged the president to put in a strong religious exemption. But here's what happened. The homosexual activist movement now is basically taking on religious exemptions. They're trying to say there should not be anything different in a quote-unquote gay executive order compared to any civil rights executive order. Now, that's fallacious to begin with because genuine civil rights is based on skin color, Jim, and discriminating on the basis of skin color, which is unchangeable, is pure bigotry. Now, homosexuality is a moral issue. People have left homosexuality behind. Many, many people, many through Jesus Christ, have left homosexuality behind. You've interviewed them. We've talked about it. So just equating it to the black civil rights movement is a big fallacy, but that's the presumption of the homosexual movement, and they are now crusading against religious exemptions, and Obama pandered to the gay lobby, and so he did not include a strong religious exemption.
What happens now? I mean,
I think this is really what we're seeing here. We have a setup here for another Supreme Court challenge along the lines of Hobby Lobby. We saw the Supreme Court has not yet taken a major religious rights case on homosexuality. The most notorious case was the Hugenins in New Mexico. This is a Christian couple, wonderful photographers. They were set up by a lesbian couple who wanted them to do their take pictures at their commitment ceremony. The Hugenins said no, politely referred them to some, you know, said we can't do this because we're Christians. We believe in marriage between a man and a woman. They were taken to court under the sexual orientation law in New Mexico, Jim. It went all the way up to the New Mexico Supreme Court, in which they lost unanimously. And so in New Mexico now, any small business, including a Christian small business, is now compelled to use its talents at a homosexual so-called wedding ceremony. I believe a case like that will go to the Supreme Court, and then we're going to see a huge ruling on where, you know, will religious liberty prevail or the gay lobby?
Well, according, and I just recalled up here the CitizenLink article, they indicate that colleges could lose federal funding, student financial aid, and accreditation. I mean, we're talking significant outcome here for Christian colleges and universities, and we understand Alliance Defending Freedom said the administration has brazenly bypassed Congress by issuing this order. They have declared that the only religious nonprofit organizations it will do business with are those willing to line up with the administration's doctrine and theology on sexual behavior. That's the kind of government entanglement with religion that the founders sought to prevent and that the First Amendment prohibits.
Yeah, and Jim, let's remember, too, you know, the homosexual lobby for a long time now has equated people like you and me, heartfelt Christians, Jews, and Muslims who oppose homosexuality. They say we're like the Klan. Excuse me. So that means that they want to treat us like the Ku Klux Klan in these cases. They want to say we are the moral equivalent of abject racists. And so we can't be naive here. They will try to put us out of business because they're already doing it. They're arguing for homosexuality above the First Amendment right to freedom of conscience.
And at the same time, Peter, I mean, the stories that are coming out, here's Todd Starnes at Fox News, and we talk about this discrimination going on from those who will hold to a Christian viewpoint. Todd Starnes at Fox News told about a veteran news editor with the Newton, Iowa Daily News, showed the door after he wrote a column on his personal blog objecting to a gay-friendly version of the Bible. He was accused of compromising the reputation of the newspaper, and what he wrote resulted in the loss of, quote, public trust. Well, you know what he did? He criticized what was called the Queen James Bible website that sells copies of God's Word that have been rewritten with a homosexual-friendly slant to it. And he's the one, because he wrote a column critical of that on his personal blog, he's the one, Peter, shown the door.
Right. They're targeting Christians very clearly. And the question is, will the church respond strong enough? Will pastors start to show that it's not even just even about freedom here? It's also about rewriting the Word of God, the whole so-called gay Christian movement, which I know we're going to be talking about, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about rewriting Christianity to make it pro-homosexual.
Peter, Centers for Disease Control and the World Health Organization promoting something called PrEP for homosexuals. Tell us what this is and what is a concern.
Well, Jim, this is another development which I think is really interesting. PrEP stands for, I'm looking for the description there. If you have it, Jim, it's the drug is Truvada. Do you have the description of PrEP?
Yeah, I'm.
Here it is: pre-exposure prophylaxis. Basically, it's being sold as sort of like a chemical condom. It's a drug that's taken regularly for people to once a day drug. To reduce the risk of getting HIV, and it's being marketed to homosexual men. You know, even some of the conservative people on the conservative side in the homosexual community, Jim, are saying, you know, there's some dangers to this. Homosexual men might be that think that if they take this drug, this is all they have to do. They don't have to worry about, you know, wearing a condom, et cetera. And so they're worried that this could create a sort of a new promiscuity, a new round of promiscuity among men who have sex with men.
Peter LaBarbera with us here today on Crosstalk. And yes, folks, the homosexual agenda is advancing despite this 10% myth. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does adaptation explain evolutionary development?
No, it doesn't, Chris. Adaptation can only occur if that plant or animal already has the information in its genetic code to allow it to meet a new environmental challenge. An amoeba doesn't have the genetic information to construct a man. So no matter what happens, adaptations that are generated in an amoeba will never produce a man. For evolution to occur, you must have new genetic information, and the only way we know to do that is through mutations. But mutations are always harmful. They're never innovative. They never add new information. Face it, evolution is impossible. It's very different from adaptation, and while adaptations do happen, evolution doesn't happen. The better explanation is creation, just like we're taught back in Genesis.
Check out our 12-part DVD series on the science of creation at unlockgenesis.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Peter LaBarber is with us today. He is president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. And folks, if you have young children listening, please get them occupied in some other activity. I mean, some of these things we talk about are not things your ears should be hearing, yet you need to be informed as to what's going on, because there is a very activist LGBT agenda that is advancing. And sadly, young children have become the victims of this, which I'll get to here in just a moment. But Peter LaBarber is with us today, and as we already brought forth here, the health survey given by the National Health Interview Survey. This is a government organization, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and Health and Human Services. Here we have the statistics coming out, whereby this myth has been propagated for decades of a 10% of our population's homosexual. Folks, it's not the truth. Gallup polls said people believe that there are 25% of the population was homosexual, yet the facts come out 1.6%. According to their government surveys, extensive surveying being done, and another 0.7, that's 0.7% bisexual. And yet, despite this, the radical agenda, the LGBT agenda, is advancing. Peter LaBarber talking about it here today. And Peter, as we were just talking before the break about this new medicine PrEP that is supposedly going to be something that actually is promotive of promiscuity. Just like we've seen the handing out of contraceptives in schools promote promiscuity, now there is another way in which they're doing that as well.
Jim, if I could give some backup. I just returned from San Francisco, where I attended a very radical festival there. And what shocked me, well, it didn't really shock me, I knew it was happening, was there's something called barebacking, which is sex without a condom among homosexual men. That was promoted in the same street fair that I covered for Americans for Truth, in which they had AIDS organizations. So we already know that this idea of, which we don't even believe, I mean, as Christians we believe, do not practice homosexuality. Homosexual behavior is immoral. We would expect that it would be unhealthy, as many immoral behaviors are. The same goes for, heterosexual promiscuity can, often also leads to venereal diseases. But homosexual behavior, because it is so dangerous and so unnatural, is very much linked to disease. And so we already know that homosexual men are not using condoms. Now along comes this PrEP, this Truvada drug, which is only going to encourage homosexual men to feel safer in not using the condoms. So, you know, it's just an amazing mix of circumstances. We already see young people now. HIV is growing among men who have sex with men ages 13 to 24. Along comes this drug, which is going to be marketed, and it's very expensive, by the way, Jim, and we could be paying for it as taxpayers. It's going to be marketed as, here's a way not to get HIV. But even some homosexuals are saying, look, if this is out there, people are not going to use condoms, or will use condoms even less.
Mm-hmm. And Peter, at the same time, here's another new report from the CDC that overall HIV rates, they say, are lower, but there's an increase in males ages 13 to 24. And I thought, with all the public education system pushing the LGBT agenda, not only should this be the natural fallout from that, but Peter, at the same time, very, very alarming.
Yes, Jim, we saw a statistic in the CDC a while ago. Among males with HIV ages 13 to 24, and first of all, it's hard to get HIV. Can you imagine a 13-year-old get it? That, to me, suggests predation. That, to me, suggests a predator, a homosexual predator, maybe in their 20s, having seducing a boy, a teenage boy. Anyways, Jim, statistics ages 13 to 24, 94 to 95% of those cases, men, young men with HIV, are linked to homosexual sex. Now, if there were any justice in the world, our schools would be telling young people about the extra high risk associated with homosexual, especially male homosexual sex. But Jim, we both know that that is not how AIDS, even HIV, is taught in schools. It's taught that anybody can get HIV, which is, of course, technically true, unless you're a virgin until married, of course. But the extra risk associated with homosexual behavior, especially male homosexual behavior, simply is not taught to young people.
Yeah, and here, and just to echo what you're saying here, Peter, the website lastresistance.com, they're reporting that a San Francisco supervisor has introduced a resolution to have the city of San Francisco make a statement to the FDA that times are changing, it's time to let homosexuals donate blood, and keep in mind that less than 3% of men are homosexual, yet according to this report here, they account for 78% of new HIV infection among males.
Astonishing, Jim. And when you mention the blood thing, that should make Americans' blood boil because they're only doing it for politics. Everything's about equality, and it's not really equality. It's a radical egalitarianism, which says everything should be equal.
Yeah.
And so at the same time, when we're seeing this these astonishing statistics among especially young men ages 13 to 24, these astonishing rates of HIV associated with homosexual sex, sodomy, at the same time, we're seeing gay groups like the Human Rights Campaign saying, hey, gay men should be able to give blood. They don't care about the public health of Americans. All they care about is so-called gay rights.
And, folks, you would think that the White House, who's interested in everybody's health, I mean, that's why we have these new school lunch menus in which kids are throwing their lunch in the trash. They're all concerned about young people's health, but just totally void any warning pertaining to this particular matter. And then, Peter, it's just when we see what's taking place, I mean, we could give it example after example. We talked about the Christian baker or the bed and breakfast or all these things penalized the Christian photographer for not wanting to take pictures of a so-called same-sex marriage or committal ceremony. And now let's go up to the state of Minnesota. The Minnesota Vikings imposing a penalty on their special teams coordinator, I believe it's Prefer, who admitted to making some quote-unquote anti-gay remarks in a conversation with former punter Chris Cluey, and they're talking about suspending him for 3 games. However, he could have that reduced to just 2-game suspension if he will instead go through some diversity training. Further, they're talking about a $100,000, in essence, fine that he would have to donate to LGBT rights groups. Peter, this is just outrageous what's going on. And then you have groups and lawmakers. What is it, Minnesota lawmakers? A total of 17 Democratic lawmakers delivered a letter to the Vikings owner and chairman demanding that this 3-game suspension not enough?
Yeah, Jim, you know, what this reminds me of is what I call the gay thought police, which is my term for not just homosexuals, but liberals allied with homosexuals who are making sure everybody's speech is pro-gay. Now, I don't know how the context of what this guy said. He shouldn't have said it. He was probably joking. Who knows? But, I mean, the penalties, it's not just – even if somebody says something, just a Christian belief opposed to homosexual marriage, or like you said, the newspaper columnist, anybody who says anything against the goals of the homosexual activist movement, they're trying to kick that person out of the public square or humiliate them in public. And I have to ask, Jim, who's doing this diversity training? Is it groups like GLAAD and Human Rights Campaign who equate sincere Jews and Christians who oppose homosexuality with haters and bigots and the Ku Klux Klan? Are the people doing the diversity training anti-Christian bigots of this sort? I mean, this is preposterous that the gay groups are some of the most bigoted groups out there because they equate sincere religious beliefs with hatred.
And folks, we're going to bring the matter a little bit closer to home now because there are some major, major changes coming to the so-called Christian publishing business. And I do want to emphasize the word business. Here are some disturbing articles. Peter, let me refer first to this one from Christian Retailing. The headline is something that caught my attention. Baker Bookhouse hosts gay Christian dialogue. It's coming up here in just a matter of days. Baker Bookhouse has invited 2 well-known representatives for the gay Christian community to speak on how the church and the LGBT community can discuss faith issues with grace. The Church and Homosexuality, a Model Dialogue, will take place on Tuesday, August 12th, 7 p.m. at the Grand Rapids, Michigan store. 2 speakers are Justin Lee, Executive Director of the Gay Christian Network and author of Tom Rescuing the Gospel from the Gays versus Christians Debate, Jericho Books, and Wesley Hill, Assistant Professor at Trinity School for Ministry and author of Washed and Waiting, Reflections on Christian Faithfulness and Homosexuality. Here's a quote. We know the church is talking about the topic, said Lewis McBride, buyer for Baker Bookhouse and event organizer. We want to provide a safe place to have discussion without all the drama and heat. As a church, we should know how to have a healthy conversation with the gay community, said Sue Smith, manager of Baker Bookhouse. How can the church show the gay community grace and vice versa? I know these gentlemen can help us.
Well, Jim, I have to say, apply the sexual sin substitution test. Would we ever have such a public meeting about somebody called an adulterous Christian or a porn-using Christian? Or is it only homosexuality that gets the special treatment? That's how it seems to me. Justin Lee has spoken at radical gay events like the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, Creating Change meeting. And I view him as really subversive within Christianity, trying to find ways to get Bible-believing Christians to become pro-homosexual, when scripturally that's absurd. We cannot be pro any sin, including homosexual behavior.
And folks, here again is a publication called The Week. Many of the largest Christian publishers coming out with books supporting same-sex relationships. More on the way. Books have spurred praise from pro-gay Christians, strong resistance from the movement's right flank. All of this indicates that Christian publishing may be the next battleground in America's explosive debates about gay marriage. Convergent Books, a division of Crown Publishing Group, released God and the Gay Christian, the biblical case in support of same-sex marriage relationships by Matthew Vines. The final hammer fell in mid-May. The National Religious Broadcasters forced Waterbrook Multnomah Publishing Group, an evangelical publisher and the sister imprint of the one that published Vine's book, to resign its membership in the organization. Unfortunately, when the Multnomah Publishing Group is separate from Convergent as a legal and business entity, the staff of Multnomah and Convergent operations are substantially the same, wrote the CEO of NRB, President Jerry Johnston. But folks, it's not just the Multnomah. Here we have other case in point. Wendy Vanderwall Gritter argues in Generous Spaciousness, responding to gay Christians in the church, that congregations should be open to more progressive views on sexuality. The book released by Brazos Press, its association with the Evangelical Baker Publishing Group, same one, folks, who is having this open dialogue coming up here in just a matter of days. Then we also have another instance here. James Bronson makes seminary-level arguments in Bible, gender, sexuality, reframing the church's debate on same-sex relationships. They claim that the Bible allows for committed same-sex relationship. The book is becoming a staple among Christians with progressive views on sexuality, and it was released by the Christian academic press Erdmans. We also have Justin Lee and Torn rescuing the gospel from the gays versus Christian debate, and Jay Baker and Fall to Grace take progressive stances on the issue. Both titles published by Jericho Books, a sister imprint to an evangelical press that publication books by conservatives like James Dobson, this article states. Peter goes on and on here with others, including even John Knox Press releasing a book, too, and more to come.
Outrageous, Jim, and I'm afraid it's the worship of the almighty dollar. We simply don't have anything along these lines with other sexual sins. And the reason we're doing this debate is because of the power of the gay lobby, nothing more. It's the power of the homosexual lobby. Matthew Vines does not have any new arguments to make. He's recycling old gay theology, so this is an unnecessary debate.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Peter LaBarbera with us. And folks, if you shop at Sears stores, you're going to want to hear the next story. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Chrislam teaches that Allah and Jehovah God are one and the same. This false teaching is being pushed not only by some political leaders, but dangerously so by various evangelicals who are promoting dialogue events between Muslims and Christians. Is this scriptural? What is the real purpose behind it? And where will this eventually lead? In a stirring address, former Muslim, now pastor, Sharam Hadian exposes this lie and gives vital information on how to fight it. The message is entitled, Islam's Allah versus Israel's Jehovah. It's available on CD for a donation of $6, or on DVD, in which you'll see the PowerPoint, for a donation of $12. This is critical information that exposes and warns about the Chrislam movement. Simply ask for the recording, Islam's Allah versus Israel's Jehovah, on CD or DVD, by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Folks, it's outrageous the things that are going on. We talk about what's happening in the world, but now we're talking the Christian publishing business. And again, I emphasize the word business because the buck is the bottom line there. And I just wanted to share this additional thing here before we move on to Sears. And according to the article that I was quoting from, this is the Christian bookstores, the next gay marriage battleground. Sources within Christian publishing say that many similar titles by gay Christians, professors, and pastors who've changed their positions are being acquired and developed now. One such book is Facing the Music, Discovering Real Life, Real Love, and Real Faith by Jennifer Knapp, which is set for release in October. She's a Grammy-nominated Christian musician who's come out as a lesbian. Howard Books is a Christian imprint of Simon & Schuster that also publishes the Duck Dynasty brand and many conservative evangelical authors. Howard is not a member of NRB, but the publisher is a member of the Evangelical Christian Publishers Association. Mark Kuiper, president and CEO of the Evangelical Christian Publishers Association, says no members have attempted to challenge Howard or Waterbrook Multnomah's membership. Publishing books affirming same-sex relationships would not be grounds for removal, according to Kuiper, because it would not violate their statement of faith. Peter, we're in big trouble here.
Yeah, boy, that's just, to me, that's just treachery, spiritual treachery. How can you say that affirming homosexual couples doesn't violate the Bible? I mean, I'm assuming their statement of faith is in line with the Bible. And the Bible is clear on that. And there have been scholars that have refuted the gay theology very clearly, Robert Gagnon, Dr. Michael Brown, others. And so this is just politics, Jim. I think this boils down to, as you said, the buck, the dollar, and politics. Culture is moving pro-homosexual in a pro-homosexual direction. So rather than the church influencing culture to be more in faith to the Bible, the church is imbibing the pro-homosexual views from the liberal culture.
And then, as we mentioned, corporate America. I mean, we've already talked about Betty Crocker. We've talked about the Proud Whopper that Burger King has put forth. And we've talked, we know about JCPenney and they're using Ellen DeGeneres. And they're here just a year ago featuring same-sex couples on their promotionals. But now we also have a story from Go Pride Chicago indicating that Sears, their sister stores are Kmart. Sears released a video of their float that was awarded Best Business Entry in the Pride Parade in Chicago. It brought to the public's attention that Sears brought four same-sex couples from across the country to the Pride Parade in Chicago and featured four so-called same-sex wedding ceremonies that took place at the Pride Parade. Sears now joining in with Macy's and JCPenney and launching public campaigns embracing the LGBT community and its mockery of traditional marriage. But now, Peter, Sears entering the picture.
Yeah, there goes Sears. I mean, I watched the video, Jim. It's just so sad and tragic to me. I mean, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is the end of is death, basically. And you know, attaching the perversion of homosexuality, which God calls an abomination, which is to say detestable behavior, attaching that to marriage is just ungodly. And it's sad to see corporations now celebrating this to get more sales. And you know, we'll see if Sears suffers for this capitulation to the homosexual activist movement.
Here also, Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis made us aware in his column over the weekend that the United Nations announced it will now recognize the same-sex marriages of its staffers at the UN, UNESCO, UNICEF, and other agencies. Up to now, the UN only recognized gay marriages if the staffers came from countries where such unions were legal. The new change means that same-sex couples just have to so-called get married in a country where it's legal. And then, Peter, also we find that with this debate that's going on in the courts, and I we could talk for hours as to what's happening in the individual states as marriage in its definition is being challenged. But now WND reports that traditional marriage advocates are slamming a three-judge panel from the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for striking down Virginia's constitutional amendment. And in essence, Peter, what they're doing is they're opening the door to marriage of three people four people, or five people.
Yeah. Well, Jim, if marriage is just based on love, and I think even Barack Obama said love is love, as if all love, so-called, is equal, then why not three ways and four ways? I mean, if it's all love, how can you discriminate against one? And so, of course, homosexual so-called marriage will, of course, lead to multiple partner marriage. It's just a matter of time.
Our phone number is, lines are open here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. If you have a question you'd like to ask here, a comment you'd like to make, Peter LaBarber is our guest. And folks, tell us what you your reaction to this latest survey from the U.S. Government here. 1.6% of the population, not the 10% myth, not the 25% some people were saying. Further, if you want to make comments about Sears and their involvement with this gay pride parade, bringing folk in for so-called same-sex ceremonies to take place. But I'd like to hear what you also have to say about this Christian, so-called Christian book publishing businesses producing homosexual-friendly books. 800-733-9829 is our phone number today. 800-733-9829. Peter, give us a word about Americans for Truth.
Yes, Americans for Truth. Our website is AmericansForTruth.com, AmericansForTruth.com. And we try to report some of the news that's not reported in the mainstream media, including the weekend. I went to the last weekend to San Francisco, where after they banned public nudity, supposedly, Jim, I went to an outdoor festival which was loaded with full frontal public nudity all over the place and terrible behaviors. We can't even discuss here on the radio.
Peter, give a word of hope for those who are listening. You said, you know, I've given way to my flesh in this regard. Is there hope for me to leave this lifestyle?
Oh, you better believe there's hope, Jim, and that's that keeps me going in this. Ex-gays, you know, there's no such thing as an ex-black or an ex-Hispanic, but there are ex-gays. There are wonderful stories, and most of them are people who've given their lives to Jesus Christ, and they've left homosexuality behind. People like Stephen Black in Oklahoma, Jim Haynes, a friend of mine, they're everywhere, and the media does not want to talk about these people, because if they do, more people won't think that gays are just, quote, born that way, as so many people believe. That's another myth, as you know, Jim. Mm-hmm. The 1%, you know, the 10% myth and the born gay myth are the two biggest myths propelling the homosexual movement forward. Well, now we know it's 1.6% gay and lesbian, and we know that people aren't born gay. There's never been proof of that, and besides, we see so many former homosexuals.
And Peter, for those looking for help in that regard, you have referrals as well?
Yes, we have referrals. There's a great new group called Restored Hope Network. Restored Hope Network. Go to that online. And these are all people who've left the lifestyle, and they want to help others leave it as well.
Let's go to the phone lines. We have Steve calling in from Florida. Steve, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. Peter, California Governor Brown signed the transgender bill into law late last year. And I see on the national news this morning that California right now is, quote, reeling from fires, drought, flooding, and mudslides, unquote. Is this a picture of what has come into this nation?
Hmm. Well, you know, I find it interesting that liberals usually just mock the idea of judgment, whereas in our history, in American history, all, you know, the early presidents, everybody understood that there was judgment for sexual immorality.
Yes.
I'm not God. I don't know what judgment is for what, but the idea that America can go on promoting the worst kind of sins, and now the latest is sadomasochism, after homosexuality, and not be judged, I think that's folly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. To James in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Jim, and I thank you for taking my call. Listen, I'm an immigrant. And when I was growing up back there, you know, we looked to the United States as a model for, you know, what a good Christian nation can, do for its people, like promoting family values and all that good stuff. So after the Civil War in Liberia and I immigrated to the U.S., one of my first disappointments was that I realized that, in fact, when I encouraged in that, you know, prayers in public schools and other public places, now the act of homosexuality is being promoted on the scale that is just, in my opinion, Babylonian proportion, mm-hmm. you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. You think about how disappointed, you know, I am, you know, just knowing that this great country that has provided so much for so many people,
yeah.
You know, is turning its back on God who has been blessed to this nation.
Yeah.
You know, so I am in prayers, especially with the Christian leaders who are doing tremendously well. But I think we need to double our effort in fighting back these so-called gay pride and gay rights people. It's not listening to, the news and hearing that Sears and all these people are now promoting this act. The United Nations is coming aboard. I mean, for me, I'm not surprised that the United Nations, I thought the United Nations was slow on coming aboard because, I mean, you know, we all know that the United Nations is the organization that is there to promote, any kind of...
And James, and I apologize because our connection is not real good with you here, but you are so right on that this country has so... it's not only a disappointment to you, but to so many. And it's, as I heard someone say recently, how can we pray God bless America? Instead, we need to pray God have your mercy upon America.
And Jim, I agree with you. And, you know, I love this country because it afforded me a second chance in life to, put my life back together in the Christian faith. I became a Christian literally growing up in the jungles of Africa. I became a Christian because there were faithful men and women here in the U.S. who sacrificed their lives, gave up everything they have, the luxury, and went out in the jungles of Africa.
Yeah.
You know, amid the, now we were crying about Ebola, but those years they were malaria.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And they were dying in the hundreds. But they went anyway. And my grandfather was a voodoo chief that came to the Lord. My parents came to the Lord. Eventually I became a Christian and a true one at that.
And we praise the Lord for that. We are going to have to move on here in our calls. Thank you so much for taking time to call here today. We do appreciate it, James. Let's go to Ron, back in Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air, Ron.
Yes. I wanted to mention that, and I thank Peter for bringing this whole subject up today because it's very needed, and I'm going to send out the information to as many people as I can about the show. But concerning the multiple marriages and things, I think this we're just seeing the things as if we're Sodom and Gomorrah. And God must bring judgment on this nation. If he doesn't, then why did he bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah?
Hmm. Peter?
Jim, can I say something on that? Yeah. No, absolutely right. I think in some areas we've surpassed Sodom. You know, in San Francisco, I saw, I can't describe some of the stuff I saw, Jim, but I did see these older men with these young, quote-unquote, slaves, master-slave relationships, and you'd see these young guys in masks, or sometimes they had dog masks on, the most dehumanizing behaviors, the celebration of degradation and sexual violence. And it was just so sad to think that, you know, even at one time, San Francisco was morally conservative. And I just, what we're seeing, I think, is the lesson of tolerance. There's no end to the evil that will be tolerated. And liberals seem to not be able to say no to anything. So why would we think they're going to say no to legalized polyamory, multiple partner marriages?
Yeah. Thank you, Ron. To Tim in Hayward, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes. Thank you so much, Peter, for bringing it up. Tremendous way of articulating your faith, our faith. Two questions. One is I have a radio broadcast in a non-Christian radio station for 30 years. Can I talk about this kind of thing without violating some kind of law or something? Usually I just state a scriptural text and so forth. And then the second one is, how do you bring this out without getting lopsided or out of balance? Because you have to hear it, but like it can't be the central thing that you do.
Well, yeah, I think first of all, just watch your job. You know, we're learning that people get fired now for just being opposed to homosexuality, but I do believe that Christians especially need to be bold. The gay activists want us to shut up, and we cannot shut up.
You do
so
have.
It's okay to do that on secular radio, to just talk Christian faith?
You share your faith, your personal story.
Yeah, as far as the FCC is concerned, absolutely you can do that. Your station ownership might think differently. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewweekend.com. Continuing on our series of 16 reasons the Word of Faith and the Church of Rome can merge, as Pope Francis and Kenneth Copeland have called for. Number 9, they can unite because they believe in ongoing revelation. Many of them believe they get this ongoing revelation through mystical experiences. The Church of Rome promotes this. The Word of Faith promotes this. C. Peter Wagner has talked about a more immediate word from God, the Rhema, is regarded as a more immediate word from God, or the Rhema. We know that the Church of Rome, in their own writings, says that we confess that whatsoever new thing the Pope of Rome may have instituted, whether it be in Scripture or out of Scripture, is true. divine and salvific, and therefore ought to be regarded as of higher value by lay people than the precepts of the living God, end quote. They say that the Pope has the power to alter scriptures. Yeah, these groups can both join and unite because they believe in ongoing revelation.
Folks, I hope you grasp the seriousness of what we're talking about here today. I mean, here we've got Christian publisher, so-called Christian publisher, after so-called Christian publisher, forming another, you know, little publishing entity, separate organization, same umbrella, same people that are involved, but they give a different name to it, and all of a sudden putting out pro-LGBT books. I mean, we've got pastors who are taking positions, who once held one position and now all of a sudden making way and becoming third way congregations. We've got here we have a headline. We didn't even get to this story from OneNewsNow.com that came out last week. Homosexual activists are hiring a so-called gay pastor to lobby against the Mississippi laws on this issue. And Peter, when we point at what, you know, Sears is doing, and we point out what's going on within the government of Barack Obama, but look what's happening within the walls of the church. Look what's happening within so-called Christian bookstores and the Christian retailing industry.
Yeah, Jim, the church needs to repent first. The church is responsible. The apathy of the church, the inactivity, and now the traitorous behavior of people who actually switch on this sin as if we're God and not, you know, God is God. He established the rules. He created the world. The Bible is clear. We can't just rewrite it because of the culture going south. That's ridiculous.
Well, but that's what's going on. The Queen James version of the Bible, and yet when one reporter on his personal blog took issue with it, he's the one that's fired.
Right.
Let's go to the phone lines. Rick in Navarre, Florida, you're on the air.
Yeah, so all of these Christian publishers who are embracing the homosexual lifestyle and encouraging it by these offshoot organizations, apparently are unfamiliar with the contents of God's Word, which they've been publishing over the years. In Leviticus 20:13, if I may, just one verse, the most emphatic of all the verses in the Bible, I believe, pertaining to the subject. Reading from God's Word, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, if a man lies with a man as one lies with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable, they must be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads, unquote. You can't put it more bluntly than that. And I think the actions of these publishers show that they haven't read God's Word, and certainly not specifically this verse. And one more quick comment. The fact that HHS released these accurate figures on the percentage of homosexuals in the population, that's been known for many years as a result of a number of studies. They just never, the government has just never acknowledged it. Okay, what this means is that they think they've won the debate and it's safe to release this information because their program is already in place.
Thank you for the comments here, Rick. Certainly, as Scripture says, that it is an abomination to God here, Peter. It is something that God detests, God hates, and Romans 1 certainly sets that up for us as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and I believe we are a Romans 1 culture.
Yeah.
And, Jim, if I could say something about the thing you said about having the program in place, there is truth to that. You know, these myths are spread. The 10% myth was spread to grow gay power, to make it seem as if homosexuality was bigger than what it was, more normal. Now we're seeing that even after all this propaganda, as you said, it's still a tiny aberration.
Mm-hmm.
Despite all that propaganda, still 1.6%. So these propaganda themes have a purpose, and it's always to grow gay power and make homosexuality appear as if it is normal in the culture.
Thank you for your thoughts here today, Rick. We're going to Brad in West Dallas, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Brad.
Hi, Jim. A few words were said about what people say pro-gay Christians are saying or doing, or what gay Christians are saying or doing. There's no such thing as those things. There are no, you know, pro-gay Christians. There's no such thing as a gay Christian publishing company either. And when you said something about, look what's happening within the walls of the church, who says it's the church? Their behavior is showing that they're unbelievers. If these people continue to insist on changing God's mind for him, I got something to tell him. On Sunday, when you go to church and feel good about yourself, stay home because you're just wasting your time.
Hmm. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Jan in Upper Michigan, you're on the air.
Jim.
Go ahead, Jan.
Oh, hi. Yes, I appreciate you putting me on. Anyway, I was going to say how close we are to that of Sodom and Gomorrah, and I think we'll suffer the consequences. But there was something I've always wondered about and never really heard ever expressed. You know, when Abraham was talking to God and he says, but he got down to if there are but 10 righteous. Okay, there wasn't even 10 righteous for, and yet this was, we're talking big city here, okay? And there had to have been children and whatnot. I always wondered, you know, they'd have been righteous, babies, children. But what I'm thinking, maybe they were so infected with AIDS at that time that God in his infinite wisdom chose to wipe it all out. Would we even be here today had such an evil allowed to spread way back then, you know?
Yeah.
I think God in his wonderful, provision, got rid of that filth so that we could even be here. And another thing is what right does any person have to say it's just an alternate lifestyle? Are they above God?
Absolutely not. And certainly we find that there were not 10 righteous people there, even in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And just Lot was delivered, his wife, his two daughters. His wife looked back, Lot's wife, as they were fleeing in disobedience and her attachment perhaps to the place. I don't know, but the Bible tells us, remember Lot's wife. Remember that sin of rebellion and disobedience and everything else. Peter, a comment.
Well, Jim, yeah, I think we are in Sodom. I mean, one of the things I saw at the street fair, which was called Up Your Alley in San Francisco, were men, young men, pretending to be dogs on all fours with their hands wrapped as paws and a dog mask on. And then a master was treating them, giving them biscuits and stuff. There's no limit to how man will degrade himself. And sin is powerful if you give in to sin. And what we're seeing is large segments of America giving in to sin. And the people who applaud it, who are not homosexual, but who applaud and approve and help promote this sin, the Bible says they are as guilty of the sin as well as the person doing the sin. I believe that's correct, Jim. So all these pro-homosexual people are also guilty of tremendous sin.
Thank you for your call. We are out of time. But as Peter said, folks, check out Romans chapter 1, and you'll see God gave them up to uncleanness, verse 24. Verse 26, God gave them up to vile affections, we find. And then God gave them over to a reprobate mind. All we see, Peter, is man being turned over to himself, whose heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. Peter LaBarber with us here from Americans for Truth, his website, AmericansForTruth.com. Peter, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Jim. God bless.
And folks, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk. My, how we need prayer, how we need revival, and it needs to happen beginning in our lives and in that of the church. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.